Welcome. Glad you're here. You glad you're here? Yes. If you have your Bibles turned to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, which we'll be looking at. If you have your mobile devices, type in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 after you've muted them. They'll be on the screens, got your notes, so we should be good to go, right? So good. Well, there's a saying, and I know most of us have heard it, and the saying goes something like this: if you give a man a fish, you'll feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, he'll call in work sick. In our study in the Gospel according to Luke, it's telling us right now at a time and a place in the ministry of Jesus Christ where Jesus is the only kingdom preacher. John the Baptist was a kingdom preacher, but Herod arrested John and executed him, cut his head off. So now it's just Jesus. And wherever Jesus is the only place ministry is. And what God's going to do, have to do, if he's going to expand and do his purpose, which is to reach the world, for God so loved the world, that's why Jesus was given. If he's going to do this, then what he's going to have to do is expand this ministry. And so what Jesus is about to do, as we look at today, he's teaching people to fish, but he's wanting people that won't call in sick. He's, you know, just relaying that to us Christians. What I'm going to be trying to relay to us is that, you know, we come to church and we learn to fish. Fishers of men. But then when it comes time to minister, we call in sick. And so what I want to do today is look at this. I want to talk about our ministry, what we're sent out to do, what we're really called to do. We're not called just to die and go to heaven. That's a good part. But that's not why we're called. That's not why Jesus separated us. So let's read a couple of the verses that we're going to be looking at today. Luke 9, verses 1 through 2. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out. Now, sent out is one Greek word, apostolos, and what that, you know, we think apostles, but in actuality, that's what each and every one of us are sent to do. Go out and minister. Sent out. Sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus is in the process here of multiplying himself, of handing his ministry over to other people. And this is tough. I mean, when you birthed something and you nurtured it, you raised it, you protected it, you fed it, you know, you fought for it, you'll die for it, which is what Jesus is going to do, then it's very difficult, it's very tough just to hand it off. But, see, here's the truth, is that no one can do this by themselves. Not even if you are Jesus Christ. You can't do it by yourself. And so what you have to do is get people that you can give authority and power to, and you can let them go and minister, that you will be able to reach the people, that you will be able to do what God's called you to do. And so you select people and you get people involved, but you realize they're going to make some mistakes. I mean, these guys are very ordinary, as some of them are sub-ordinary, some of these 12. But, you know, they're going to make some mistakes, and we know about the mistakes. But, you know, I was thinking about that when you and I went to work, wherever our occupation is now. You know, we didn't go there figuring we were going to be perfect. And then the person who employed us didn't think we were going to be perfect, especially initially, knew we were going to make some errors, make some mistakes, right? And I think that a lot of times, and when it comes to ministry, that we think we've got to be perfect, that we're not capable, that we can't make any mistakes, we can't make any errors. That's just not true. God wants you. He understands that when we come into ministry, there are some things we've got to learn. And so we will learn, hopefully, that we won't make the mistakes again. But when we come into ministry, we just got to go with it. And so Jesus calls, it said, he called these 12 together. I don't know all that means, but he got them. I know one thing it means is he got them away from the crowd. the crowd of people, because the crowd is going to call in sick. But he wants some people that won't call in sick that are going to go and minister. So he calls them separate. Now, a time comes in every Christian believer's life where God is asking you to separate. He's calling you away from the crowd and asking you to go into ministry. He wants to send us out. Let us go and minister. And so he prepares us and he gives us this authority and he gives us this power to go and do it. So it's been like 18 months now, maybe 2 years, that these guys have been with Jesus. They have heard 100 times as he drove out demons. They've observed him do it. They've watched 100 times as he healed sicknesses. They've listened to 100 messages. They've watched him battle with the Pharisees. They've watched him debate with them 100 times. They've watched him heal hundreds of sicknesses. Are they ready? This is so embedded into them. How many messages have you heard? How many sermons have you heard? How many people have you watched be prayed for? How much does it take? When do we get enough that we got it, that we'll just go and not call in sick when the opportunity comes to minister? When is enough? You know, I was thinking about this, how excited most of us were when it came time for us to learn how to drive. You know, we wanted to drive. And so we get 15 years old and we finally get to learn how to drive. And then to get 16, I don't know exactly how it is now. I don't know what all the laws are there. I don't have any, not having to work with 16-year-olds anymore in my house. But anyway, you know, finally 16, when I was 16, I could finally get out on the roads all by myself. And I was so excited. Cannot wait till I can drive. Did we feel that way when we got an opportunity to minister? Were we excited and anxious and awaiting the opportunity that we would get? Did we say, man, I can't wait to pray for somebody. I can't wait until I get to share with somebody what I am learning about the Bible. I can't wait until I am used by God to help bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Is that what we think? I don't think we do. We call in sick. You know, we want to learn all this stuff. We want to go to where there's good preaching. Bless God, if he can't preach good, I ain't going. Well, that's wonderful. And I think a preacher should preach good. But what are you doing with it? How many messages do we have to? How many people do we have to see prayed for? How much time do we have to see people's lives delivered before we finally go out there ourselves and get excited about it? I was so excited when I finally got the opportunity to minister. And it wasn't long after I came to the Lord that I began reading the Bible. I wanted to teach the Bible. I wanted to share the Bible. I wanted to pray for people. I couldn't wait until I had the opportunity to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. I was so excited about that. And I did it. To wait and let God use me to pray for somebody and God heal them because I prayed for them. Are they coming to salvation because I was the one who was able to witness to them? How exciting that was to me. Do you remember the first person that you got to minister to? First people, perhaps, that you got to share the things of God with and express your excitement about God. Do you remember who that might have been? I remember. It was at work. And I would go, and I worked at night then and on the what was called the third shift. It was 12 to 8 shift. And I would go, and I would talk to people about Jesus and talk about the Scriptures. And they would start sharing their troubles and their sorrows and their woes with me. And I would get to pray for them and watch God do some amazing things in their lives. Do you remember? How did you do when you got the chance to minister to somebody? Did you do it or did you call in sick? What did you do? So I want to look at all of this today. I want to kind of look at as Jesus sent these guys out. I think it's so pertinent to us today. I don't think it's changed a bit. And what he told them to do, he's telling us to do. He's sending us out. So let's take a look at this and try to make this as applicable as we possibly can. So let's read again those two verses, but this time let's start exegeting it a little bit. Luke 9, 1 through 2 says this. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. Not only power, but power what? And authority two. Now, stop there just a second, and I'm going to ask you to do what sounds like a silly thing, but just do it with me. You humor me. I want you all just to say two, just as meaningful as you can. Just that one word. Okay, we can do that, can't we? So with me, say two. Two. Very good. Because four times we're going to see what he sent them out to do. The goals of ministry. So let's look at this. Power and authority. Two. One. Drive out demons. Drive out. How many of them? Isn't that good? Not a one of them can get away with you. All of them. And that's the first thing you're supposed to be doing. Then number two. To cure. No? Am I right? Yeah. To cure diseases. That's the second thing we're supposed to be doing. And then the third thing is, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. Now that's what we all think. That's what ministry is. We're just supposed to talk to people about Jesus, about the kingdom. No, no, no. It's only 25% of it. And then the fourth thing he says is, and to heal the sick. Now what I want us to see here is that these are the goals of ministry. As we go out and we're out to talking to people and ministering to people, only 25% of it is really talking to them about the kingdom and preaching to them. 75% of ministry is really ministering to people in their dire needs. In the things that are possessing them, the devils that are attacking them. It's about the diseases that they're facing. It's about the sicknesses they're encountering. These are the 75% of ministry is really touching people at their depths where they really, really are in need. Only 25% of it's got to deal with teaching people the Bible and talking about the kingdom. I think we so get messed up. Any of us can help people. Any of us can do these things. So what I want us to see is these four things are the goals of ministry. These are the things that he sent them out to do. Not just to preach. So the goals are the same today. Let's just think about this a second. How many of you know somebody who is probably being demonically attacked? Don't have to answer. Don't have to answer. But you do, right? You do. Sure you do. What are you doing for? Calling in sick. Or are you really going and trying to help the person? How many of us know people who have a disease? Sure, we do. Sure we do. Well, what do we do? And the word cure disease is there. Doesn't mean just a miracle takes place. What it means is you minister to that person while they're curing from the disease. You help them. You minister to them. You bless them. And then, of course, it's preaching the kingdom of God. How many of us knows people that need some truth in their lives? Their lives are so messed up. Their lives are so goofed up because they're living by the wrong principles. Well, sure, we know people that need the truth spoken to them. Even Christians get all balled up. And how many of us know people that are sick? Sure we do. Sure we do. What are we doing for these people? See, this is what Jesus says to do. In our times, in our lives, we're going to cross paths. We're going to meet people that are like this every single day of our lives. We go out and we meet these people. People that are being demonically attacked. People that are suffering from disease. People that are all balled up and need truth in their lives. People that are sick. We meet these people. And what Jesus says, I'm going to give you some power to help them. Don't call in sick on me. Just go and do what I've asked you to do. So the goals then are the same today. Jesus gives us power and authority to do these things. Now, until now, all the demons and sicknesses and disease and the false doctrines only had to deal with Jesus. If Jesus wasn't there, they were left alone. Nothing bothered them. They just got their way. But this is about to change. Jesus is about to multiply himself 12 times. Now there's going to be 13 kingdom preachers out there. There's going to be all of these ministries going on out there. And people are going to have to deal with it. And the demons are going to have to deal with it. And the false doctrines are going to have to deal with all of these things. And that's how it should be today, right now. We need to multiply ourselves. We need to go out. and demons should have to deal with every one of us. And false doctrines should have to deal with every one of us. And disease should have to deal with every one of us. And sicknesses should have to deal with every single one of us. Not just Jesus. But wherever we are, then there's the Spirit of God, and there's deliverance, and there's help, and there's healing. Imagine if just us, just our crowd, if every single one of us went out right now, and we began to utilize the power and the authority that God has given each of us just to minister to people. What a big difference that would just make in our community or wherever that we go. I was thinking about this, just expanding it. You know, on our globe, globally, 35% of the population says it's Christian. 35%. The next closest is Muslim with 19%. 35% of the people say they're Christian. That's over 2 billion people. 2 plus billion people. What if 2 plus billion people utilize the power and the giftings and were able to deal with demons? We're able to deal with false doctrines. We're able to deal with sicknesses and disease. What if that were to happen? Well, Jesus might could come back because the world would have been reached. But I'm trying to get us to see. Listen, we're calling in sick. We've got all of this embedded in us. All these messages. We've watched all these people being prayed for. We meet all, encounter all these people who need help. And we just call in sick. And what Jesus is telling us today and challenging us today is, listen, I want to separate you from the crowd. I want to really utilize your life. So Jesus gives power and authority. So I want to look at this just a little bit, at what he gave these guys. Power and authority to do. Now let's look at this word power in the Greek. It's the Greek word dunamis. We talk about it frequently. It's a dynamic kind of a power. It's inherent. Now let's pause there just a second. What does that mean? Inherent. Let's read the rest of it. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Inherent power. Dunamis power. Something within you to do something dynamic for someone else. That's what dunamis is. He first gave you power and then he said, and authority. Let's look at this word authority. It's the Greek word exousia and what it means. And this was interesting to me. Power of choice. Look at that. We get to choose if we actually use the dunamis. That's what that's he's given us. He's given us this authority, but we get to choose if we use it or not. Liberty, or a freedom we could say, of doing as one pleases. We get to do it or not do it. We get to call in sick or not. He's not going to make us do it. But what good is a police officer, even though he's got the badge and the uniform, if he doesn't use his authority? He's no good. Christians are no good unless we really step out there and do something. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to put us down. That might not have come out exactly like I meant it to, but you understand what I'm talking about. What we're here to do is minister. Multiply. Power of choice, of doing as one pleases, physically and mental power. It's physically and mentally using, making the decision to exousia, to use the authority that he's given us to utilize the power that's within us. We get to choose it. We get to choose whether to do it or not. And we all have this power and we all have this authority. All of us. Deborah, are you saying that inside of me is the power to drive out demons? Are you saying that's within me is the power to heal or cure diseases? Are you saying, Delbert, within me is the power to preach the kingdom of God? Delbert, are you saying that within me, inherent inside of me, is the power to heal the sick? Yes! Yes, I am. If that's not even the real question. The question is not, is the power there? The question is really this. Will you use the exousia? Will you activate the authority that you have and not call in sick? And really step out there and begin to pray and minister and go to people and help them with these particular situations. I don't think we understand this, and we used to talk about these things a whole lot more than we talk about them now. But I wanted to show you this, and the fastest way I think I could do it was to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and begin at verse 7. Because there we have this list of these dunamis gifts, these charismatic, if you will, gifts of the Spirit that are in each person. And I want to walk through this and look at this. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7, it says this, "Now to each one," that's talking about people, "each person," how many? "Each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given." Manifestation, what does that mean? If you have the Spirit of God, here's how it will manifest. If the Spirit of God is in you, here's how I'll know. Here's how the Spirit of God shows up. If we look at our life and these things are happening, these gifts are happening, then I know this person is filled with the Spirit of God. So this is how he ministers. This is how he manifests. Manifestation of the Spirit of God for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. If you're going to preach the kingdom of God, you need wisdom and you need knowledge. Well, there it is. By means of the same Spirit. This is one Spirit. This is in all of us. We don't have a different spirits. Well, some of us might. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, it should be in all of us. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of what? Healing. Gifts of healing by the one Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God in you, is healing. And it wants to manifest. To another, miraculous powers. Drive out demons. Work miracles. This is in there. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's discernment of spirits. Dealing with devils. You need it. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Delbert, you speak in tongues? Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that what it says? Is that what it says? If the Spirit of God is in me. Hello? Let's keep on reading. And still another, interpretation of tongues. You ever done that? Okay. All of these, watch this now. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. All these. And He, the Spirit, gives them to each one just as He determines. Do you believe the Bible? Do you? You say you do. Well, then you've got to believe this. If the Spirit of God is in you, and you have received Jesus Christ and His Spirit, then this is in there. This dunamis power is in you. It's there. I have learned over my years of ministry that it's not so much that this person's got this gift, and this person's got this gift, and this person's got this gift. We get comfortable, and we have I think a primary gift in which we're easily can operate in. But what I have learned is that whenever I'm ministering to someone and I need to have a word of wisdom for them, the Spirit of God will just give me a word of wisdom, something that will really help them, or a word of knowledge, something that I need to know about this person to really help them, or maybe a word of prophecy to encourage them and edify them and exhort them. Maybe that's what I need to give. And the Spirit will give that to me. Or maybe it's a discernment of devils. A discernment of spirits. Maybe that's what I need to figure out. What's happening? What's attacking this person? Whatever that it is, the Spirit of the Lord will give it to me as I'm ministering to the person. It's not so much that this person has this gift. If we have the Spirit of God in us, then all of this is resident. And God's given us everything we need to do everything He wants. The problem is, we call in sick. We got it all. We've heard it all. We've seen it all. But we don't do anything. You know, this is what I really want us to get a hold of today, is that it's time for some of us to really move out and to reside and to live in the realm of ministry where we can really change some lives and help people. I've learned that ministering to people is this way. I know now some of us have heard that these things aren't for today. Well, here's my deal. I have read the Bible I don't know how many times. I read it every day. I listen to probably more preaching than anybody you know. I can't find that. I can't find anywhere in the Scriptures where Jesus said, okay, we're going to go this far with the gifts of the Spirit, and then we're going to stop them. I can't find that. And to me, just the reason of it, if this is how the Spirit is manifested, if you remove the gifts, then you're removing the Spirit. So let's try it this way. Just to do everything I can to show you this isn't just to me. How many of you in this room, in this crowd, how many of you have ever been used by the Spirit of God to manifest, used in one way or the other of one of these gifts that we've talked about today? God used you to minister through one of these gifts to people. If you've ever, look at this. How do you argue with that? I mean, it's real. And I want to ask you one more question. And while we're here on the, bless you, while we're here on the deal, it's from verse 2, just a part of it. But while we're here, I just wanted to hook it up together. And Luke 9:2, it says this: and to heal the sick. Right. So is healing the sick for today?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Let's just do it again. How many of you, at some point, don't suspect, but you know that God touched your body or your mentally or you. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, whatever. But you know that He touched you and He healed you because somebody prayed for you. But that's you. Look at this. See, I'm telling you. I don't have to say anything else there, do I? I mean, that's good enough. These things are for today. And they're in each of us if we're a Christ follower. Now, Luke 9:2 also says this: and He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. To preach what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God. Now, I don't think I need to, in this church, every time I want to talk about the kingdom of God, I don't think I need to stop and explain the kingdom of God. I think our church has got some idea about what the kingdom of God is. My point and thing I do want to point out here is, what are we supposed to preach? What is every preacher that Jesus sends out told to preach? Tell me. The kingdom of God, right? Now, what is the kingdom of God? Just rapidly, not going through and not doing a lot of teaching, but it's simply this. It's preaching the advancement of the rule of Jesus Christ on this planet. That's the kingdom of God. That's what it is. It's that in a nutshell. So if you're hearing that we're not winning, if you're hearing that the church has stopped and the kingdom of God is not advancing, you are not hearing the kingdom of God preached. You're hearing something else, right? If you're hearing something like the gates of hell have stopped the church, you're not hearing the kingdom of God. Because what did Jesus tell Peter? You know, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's not going to stop the church. And so we get this teaching sometimes. Thank you, guys. I mean, not like that. You help me. But you see, but we hear this kind of stuff. Is that the devil's winning? And then we're going to have to be taken out of here because it's going to get so bad. We're going to get in a headlock, and he's going to put that 666 on us. And we're just going to listen. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom of God is advancing. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:12. He says this. He says, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God is advancing. And the violent grab it by force. We take it. You can preach. You want to do this? You go. No. You go, girl. I love it. That's good. I'm telling you. See, but the kingdom is advancing. So if you're hearing something other than that, you're not hearing the kingdom of God preached. And so what you are supposed to preach, what I'm supposed to preach, we're supposed to go out there and preach the advancement of the kingdom of God. How things are improving. Now, we don't understand everything. I don't. I look around and I'm saying, I don't know. But I know what the Bible says. And I know the gates of hell cannot stop the kingdom of God or his church. So, with that said, see, I hear preachers say something like this. I read the last book. I read the end. We win. Listen, we win all the time. We just don't win at the end. We win everything. Verses 3 and 4. He told them, take nothing for the journey. Take how much?
Nothing.
Take nothing for the journey. No staff. That's your weapons, you know. And I know some of you have an arsenal and some of you pack, but you... He says, no staff, no bag, no bread. That's food, of course. No money and no underwear. That's what tunic is. Tunic is the undergarment. And I really think that Jesus got a chuckle at them because they knew what that meant. But, I mean, he's saying, don't even carry an extra pair of underwear with you. You're going. That's not what you're going to do. You're going to minister to people. So that's what tunics is. And he says, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Now, these verses, of course, are cultural specific. We don't talk about staffs and tunics and those kinds of things. And right now, this is what Jesus tells us. But later in Luke chapter 22, verse 35 and 38, he says, take all this stuff and also get you a couple of swords. But right now, he's trying to impress them with something, right? He's trying to get them to understand something here. And what he's trying to get them to understand is, you can trust me. If you'll minister and you'll go in these four areas and you'll really work at driving out devils and you work at curing diseases and you'll work at preaching the kingdom and you'll work at healing people, if you'll work on this, I'll make sure you got everything you need. And, you know, I can testify to that. Over 30 years of doing this, Judy and I have never needed anything. Bills were always paid. Food was always there. Always had some money to do something. He always took care of every single thing. And so what Jesus is saying here is, listen, I've got you to learn to trust me. So leave it all home. Go out there now and minister. But there's more I want us to see here. Whatever house, he said, you enter, stay there. Now, what am I seeing here? Well, of course, it would be tempting if you got in a home or in a place and this other guy asked you to come to his home and it was a lot nicer and food was better and you might be tempted, but Jesus says, no, it's all worked out. God's already got people ready for you. When you get there, they're going to ask you to come in. Stay there. Stay there. But what I'm really seeing, what he's saying to do is, listen, here's the deal. I want you to live among the locals. I want you to be familiar and live with them and like them. Be among the locals as you minister. And I was pondering that. And isn't that what we do every day? I mean... Okay, we have a home, and we get up, and we don't load up all of our weapons, you know. Most of us don't. And we don't load everything up, and we don't fill our pockets full of bread and food, and we don't take all of our money. Most of us don't. And we go out, and we don't take extra underwear. We go out into the locals. We go out to wherever we work. And we deal with people, and we come home, and we don't jump from house to house to house, do we? We come home. We have a home, and so I see all of this. But what I'm really wanting to communicate to us is that as we go out among the locals, as we go out, we're going to run across people who are being tormented by devils every day. We're going to run across people who have diseases. We're going to run across people whose lives are so messed up, need the truth of the kingdom of God. Every day. Every day we're going to go out and we're going to run into people who are sick. Every day. In a normal day, there's no telling how many of these people you encounter. What are you doing? Are you ministering to them? Are we calling in sick? Is it, we have all of this power. We have all this ability. We just don't use the exousia. We just don't use the authority that He's given us to do something dynamic for other people. And what He's wanting us to see is that, listen, you're going to live among the locals, and every day you're going to meet these people. Do something for them. Minister to them. Love them. Jesus told them, and He tells us, make people your priority. I receive a lot of emails from people, and I love it. I love getting emails from you. I love to hear your hearts. And I'll send emails. I'll provoke it sometimes. I'll send people emails. And if you ever get a personal email from me, it's not because I'm getting after you because you weren't here last Sunday. It's because I missed you. And I want to make sure everything's good and everything's cool. Is there anything I need to pray about? How's it going with you? But I love getting emails because it reveals to me your hearts and if something I said or did or whatever touched your life and meant something to you. So I love to get them. So if you ever want to, send me one. You know, I love it. Now, I got one a couple months back now. But anyway, I wanted to share it with you, so I asked if I could, and they told me I could. It was from a couple, and I want to read you just a part of it. It says this: we both love LifeGate and are happy to be part of the church. I appreciate the fact that it is a place to come and share your joy as well as sorrow. I have always felt in the past that I could not be real at church. That's what got me. I always felt I couldn't be real at church. I am glad to have found a place to be real. And the email went on to say, I wish that there was a way that we could communicate better to our community, that LifeGate Church is a place you can come with your tattoos. You can come with your dress, however you want to come. You can come any way you want to. You wear a suit or you wear shorts. It doesn't matter. Just come. And it's a place you can come and be real. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here to these guys. He's saying, go out among the locals and just be real. Don't be religious. Don't put on this facade. You know, be real to people. And that's how you're going to really minister to them. Because a lot of times when people come to church, what we attempt to do is, instead of allowing Jesus to minister and transform them, what we do is we want to transform them. We want to make them in our image, right? We want them to dress like we dress, talk like we talk, sing like we sing, dance like we dance. Whatever that we do, we want to pray like we pray. We want them to do what we do. And so we want to transform them into our image of what a Christian should be. And that's not being real. Just be real and let Jesus transform them into the image of Himself, but how He wants them to be.
And together, we can change the world. Yes, together, we can change the world.
Focus on people, love and appreciate everything. And then He says this. He flips the coin just totally upside down. He makes a big U-turn. And He says this in verse 5 and 6. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. As a testimony what? Against them. Now, that seems so abrasive. I mean, He's just been here talking about, oh, it's all about people and, you know, appreciate them and be real among them and all this stuff. And then He says this. It's just, where did that come from? You know, and so there was this practice that Jews had when they would go into a Gentile nation or country or whatever area. When they came back into Israel, they would shake the dust off their feet and off their clothes and whatever. And it was a gesture that was saying, I don't want anything stuck to me that's not covenantal, that's not of the covenant of God. And so when they would go into a Gentile area and come back, that's what they would do. But the interesting thing here is He's not sending them into Gentile areas. He's sending them to Jews, to the household of Israel. He's sending them to people that if they don't receive this, though they think they're covenant, he's in making an indictment against them. It's a testimony against them. He's telling them, the wrath of God is going to come on you. Again, we see Jesus doing this. That generation was not going to pass. He's offering it to them. He wants them to get it. He wants them to enjoy it. He wants to have a good life. But now he's saying, listen, if you don't get it, I'm sorry. But there's a little more here that I want to see, and I think we can make applicable to our lives since we are Gentiles. But I think we can understand this a little bit better. Also, you see, I see when there's times in ministry when you've said all you can say and you've done all you can do for someone. I mean, and they just won't take it. They just don't like it. What are you going to do here? I think what Jesus is saying to you and me is there's times when we're ministering to people, locals or whatever. They won't receive it. So what do you do? Do you have to stop right there and just stay there until they get it? Or what do you do? No, I think you say, I'm going to shake this off. I'm going to go on to my next opportunity. And I'm going to leave them with God to work this out. There's times, so many times that this kind of thing happens. You say, what we're supposed to do is preach or proclaim the gospel, not impose the gospel. Right? I'm supposed to pastor people, not pester people. And I know sometimes I'm a pester, but I know that when I should back off. And what we're, a lot of times, we want to get people in a headlock. And I'm going to go ahead and put this in now. How many of you have ever been like to a timeshare? And I know timeshares are good. Some of you may have timeshares and you like it. I didn't like it. I felt like I was tricked. And I knew that they were giving me these 3 nights or whatever to come to the timeshare and some meals and all that stuff. But once I got in there, it's like they locked the doors. You couldn't get out and they would not let you say no. I mean, they kept on you and made you feel like you were an idiot if you didn't buy this thing. And I'm telling you, and I think that's what preachers sometimes do is we timeshare heaven. We're presenting to people a timeshare thing for heaven. And that's not what this is about. Listen, shake that off and don't water it down. Don't dilute it. Don't change the message. If they don't get it, then they don't want it right now, then leave them with God. Just leave them with God. And maybe you can relate to telemarketers. We've all related to telemarketers. We get these phone calls. And it used to be worse before cell phones, but now it's even getting bad with cell phones. But used to, these telemarketers would come. And when it first starts happening, you don't want to be rude. Especially, I'm a preacher. I don't want to, get rude with the dude. But they won't take no. And after 30 times, I'm not interested. You finally get angry enough to hang up. And then finally you get to a place, as soon as you find out it is one, you hang up. But I'm talking about, and that's what preachers do sometimes, is they lock the door and they won't let you go. And you just they just keep on and keep on. Let's sing "Just As I Am" one more time, one more. And we end up 50 times we've sang "Just As I Am." And you feel like you're in a headlock. No, Jesus says, no, don't do that. Listen, shake it off. Realize they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting the kingdom of God. They're rejecting Jesus. And so I think this is what we need to learn sometimes is that when people don't get it, okay, let's leave them alone with God. Let's let God work with them a little bit. I work really hard here to preach the kingdom, not impose the kingdom. I work hard to make it clear. I try my best to deliver it in the clearest of ways. And then when I'm done, as I will in just a minute, I give people an opportunity to respond. Now, response is good. Headlocks are not good. But response is good. And so Jesus wants us to get this. He wants us to understand. Listen, there's sometimes you just got to let it go. I have people in the church from time to time, and they'll, what we call, kind of backslide. They'll stop coming. And this breaks my heart. And I'll watch them to see what they're going to do. If they're going to go to another church, that's one thing. I can deal with that. I'm big enough to deal with that. Seen that a lot. That's okay. But a lot of times people don't go anywhere. They just stop going anywhere. And so what I do is I do everything I know to do. I'll call them on the phone. I'll leave them messages if they won't answer. I'll text them. I'll send them emails. I'll try to see them if I possibly can. I'll try to do everything I possibly can for them. But there finally comes a time when they've relayed to me enough. You're pestering me. And I back off. And I just let them go and let God deal with them. Do I love them? Of course I love them. And it's not, will I ever minister to them again? It's, when will I get to minister to them again? Because they usually always come back somehow, some way. They need me to pray for them. They ask me to do this for them or do that for them. So I always do. So I think what Jesus is saying here is, listen, there's times when we're ministering to people. They're not going to get it. And it's not you they're rejecting. It's the kingdom. And you've got to let God now deal with them. Right? So let's finish this up. The last verse that we're going to be looking at, verse 6, says this. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people where? Everywhere. Jesus multiplied himself 12 times. Now all this ministry is 12 times more going on. And so the mission that he sent these guys out was extremely successful. And these guys were, as we looked at the 12 that he selected, these guys were, some of them were just crazy. I mean, they didn't act like they had good sense sometimes. They were sometimes seemed subnormal. But yet they went and God used them everywhere to touch lives and change lives and deliver people and to heal people and to heal diseases and to preach the kingdom of God. And this is what he's wanting from you and from me today. And how wonderful this was and how wonderful this should be today. That every place that we go, every village, every single place that you or I go, where we run into these people that need that are being demonically attacked, we run into people with disease, we run into people that have their lives all messed up, we run into people who are sick, that we do something for them. And that we proclaim Jesus to them. And if we do it right, they'll let us preach the kingdom of God to them. This is how it should be. He doesn't want us calling in sick. He really does want us to go out the highways and the hedges, go in every place that we go, and meet these four kinds of things and make these our goals and really minister to people. So the next time, opportunity that you get, go for it. Give it a shot. When will your next time be? Right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for calling me and choosing me and separating me from the crowd. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've put in me. Thank you, Lord, that you've used me in so many ways to show off your dunamis, your power, your spirit. Thank you, Lord God, that I exousia, I take it and I use it best I can. But Father, even though I do the best I can, there's times when I feel I could do better. So Father, I ask you to help us now as we bring this time to a conclusion. How many of us, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many of us know that this is true, that every day nearly you're meeting some dimension of people that we've talked about, and that sometimes you just call in sick. And you would be willing to say today, I can do better. And I am going to step out there. I'm realizing today they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus. I'm going to step out there. And I'm going to see if they'll let me pray for them. I'm going to see if they'll let me talk to them about the scriptures, about the kingdom of God. I'm going to let me see if they'll let me help them in their diseases or help them in their sicknesses. How many of you would say today, you know, I don't do well enough here, and I am going to ask God right now to help me do better? If that's you, would you slip your hand up right where you're sitting? Let me pray for you. Father, you see these hands. We make a commitment to you. Lord, I ask you right now to help us. Lord, let us step forward. Let us not call in sick. Let us go for it. Let us step out there, Lord God, and really touch people in every dimension that we possibly can. One more thing, with your head still bowed and your eyes still closed. Some of you are not where you need to be with God, and you know it. You know it. You're being attacked by the demons, and you're suffering in these things, and your life is screwed up. You need the kingdom of God ministered to you. And you're far from God, and you need to be closer. Maybe there was a time when you received Jesus Christ, but you slid back. Or maybe you've never received Jesus Christ, but now today is the day. And you want to come in and let him use you and fill you with the Spirit and give you this power and this dunamis and this authority that you can go out and you can be used by God to minister to people. Maybe that's you. You're just not where you need to be with the Lord today. If that's you, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up right where you're sitting and just say, pray for me. Pray for me. I need some help there. I see a hand here. Any others? A hand in the back? Any others? Any others? I see your hand.